Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Everton Fan Focus podcast. We're back, Mark.
We're back, mate.
Yeah. How are you?
Good to see you, mate. I barely recognise you. Thank God I stalk your house frequently because I knew where you lived. But yeah,
no, that's fine. It's been a while, hasn't it? Probably yeah. 3 months.
Something like that.
Best part of 3 months.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I think we've done one shortly. Yeah, was it 3 months ago? Really?
It was just after the sacking, wasn't it, of Martin?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm just all I can hear that night with champagne corks and party pop as well. And it's all a blur, a glamorous blur. And then ever since then, back down to here smoothly with what's gone on since.
But so you've grown a designer beard.
Yeah.
You've lost more hair on the top of your head.
Yes, but replaced it stylishly below. It's a midlife crisis, I'll grow out of it.
Any other news? Everything else all right?
Yeah, everything's all right, yeah. Almost empty on the bare front. So, yeah. Oh, that's yeah.
You've had more women than bloody hot dinners in the past few months, have you?
I have, definitely. But Jeremy Carl meeting, definitely scheduled in as a must, I think, definitely. Yeah, now it's going there. Going smoothly, which more than you can say for our transfer window.
That's like the way you've done that.
It's almost like we planned that conversation.
Oh yeah. We've obviously got a lot to discuss, haven't we? There's been an endless list of activity probably since Roberto got the chop, and we're going to go through it bit by bit. I think it's only fair to start with the appointment of Ronald Koeman, which seems like old news now, to be honest, but with us not doing a podcast the past couple of months, it's very relevant. And
yeah,
Big Ronald, what are we saying?
You mentioned him in the last podcast.
Are we calling him Big Ron, or is that too
Big
much
Ron
of a
is
draw
a bit, on Ron? I don't know, I just see a lot of jewellery when I think of Big Ron and, and sort of mansions and racist comments.
We'll just call him Ronald Koeman then.
Ronnie, I think, is better. Maybe, or depends how Tottenham we get on against Tottenham. Don't he could be getting called something else.
Yeah. It's not quite as, you know, I think some of our fans went a bit far, didn't he, with Martinez. He was getting Bobby's brown shoes. We all got a bit carried away.
Got a lot worse than that, mate. He was getting Muriel's painted and everything on the side of the main stand.
He was getting lauded, yeah.
Yeah,
after one good season. But anyway, Ronald Koeman, obviously a massive name in the footballing world. On the pitch, off the pitch, he's well respected, highly regarded. Even though I'm looking at this bit of paper, I'm not. This isn't scripted.
None of it
is, though. No, it sounds like it the way I'm trying to put a sentence together. But yeah, he's goes without saying. You say Ronald Koeman, everyone knows that he was a top draw defender.
Yeah.
Played for some well recognised sides. Obviously, very very well known in his homeland, Holland. And fair to say, he's got managerial experience. It's hardly a glittering record, though, is it?
No, it's not, but it's the guy does carry a lot of weight behind him with what he's achieved in his playing career. And also when you think about, you know, his job that he done at Southampton, I don't know, like that some that's not enough for some people, they want a proven winner in. But I do think this guy is on an upward curve in his career, and I think that's it was the right kind of ambition for us to get us in. For, you know, I believe he was our number one target, wasn't he? So to go and get him, you know, whatever's gone on since has maybe deflated that a little bit, but it certainly showed the signal of intent from the board and where they wanted to go and land their number one target from a club who were miles better than us last season.
You know? Definitely, and I think, obviously, there's been a bit of point scoring with Southampton fans and what have you, but ultimately they've done well. Southampton have got a lot of time for them.
Yeah.
But their players are being plucked away from them. You know, unfortunately, that's what happens in football. We're used to that, but the shoe's on the other foot this time. And I did feel like when we done that podcast back in May, the club had already identified Koeman. We were linked with Mourinho, Pellegrini. We were linked with, I think, even the likes of
Unai Emery,
Simeone. Chatting. I think in terms of realistic, Koeman was probably the most realistic. He was proven in the Prem, as you say, upward curve of his career. Very much someone who's ambitious.
Yeah.
In terms of stature, we are a bigger club than Southampton. I think, you know, the most, you know, sane Southampton fan would realise that. He's spent time there. He's probably thought, well, you know, maybe 6 or 7 is the best I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And hopefully he sees Everton as, you know, a new project where he could maybe crack the places above 6th and 7th and ultimately try and get into the Champions League. But it's a huge task. There's no denying it. But I've got to admit, Mark, I was happy with his appointment.
Very happy. Exact same. I think his appointment alone is managerial. You know, now it's an all-round. He's got so much more adaptability than Martinez had. In his thoughts, in how he changes a game. You know, if you think back to when they were 2-0 down against Liverpool and all that, Everton would never have done that under Martinez to come back. But not just one game, and certainly not just because it was against Liverpool. Koeman's shown that he can adapt his tactics and all that. So I think that alone, and if these players can get that rocket up their ass, which I do think they still need, then there's we could be having Koeman along is 50 worth about 10-15 points. Extra just on top of Martinez, you know what I mean? Because I don't think he's going to make anywhere near the same level of mistakes as Martinez did last two seasons.
I just I'm impressed with his attitude again. He seems really genuinely liked, and Martinez was genuinely liked, but I think Koeman is well liked and well respected because of who he is and what he's done. And you know, Martinez was a very good with the cameras and talk of positivity, but I think Koeman's more of a realist.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, the fact that Old Trafford the other night, he's effing and blinding on a touchline, and the microphone, the TV microphones must be uncomfortable, squeamish, but even picking that up, because it's not meant to be heard at home, but you can physically hear it and see it, and he's annoyed. And
for 3 years we just haven't had any of that.
Well, that's Martinez obviously tried to take the positives out of everything, but Koeman, you can see he's kicking every ball and he's winning every header from the touchline. And I think that, you know, that'll hit home with Evertonians. And I looked at him the other night and I thought, you know what? He's passionate. That's what we want. He's real. He's a winner. Do you know what I mean? He come out, didn't he, after, what games are we winning pre-season? 3-1. Was it MK Dons?
MK Dons,
And he come out and said, you know, I wasn't best pleased with the second half performance. And do you know what I mean? I think
he wasn't too impressed. After a decent 0-0 draw at Old Trafford.
Honesty goes a long way with football fans, I think. And absolutely. Martinez wasn't honest, and he bullshitted his way through a lot of mud in his time as Everton. And as much as, you know, I wish him well for the future, for God knows how he got that
golden future he somehow landed himself in.
I think he would have served himself better if he would have been a bit realistic and honest with the Everton fans. And Koeman's only been here a matter of months, and I think we're seeing that already, but there's still a long way to go. You know, things might not work out, so we can only predict. But
he's got a lot of more substance to him than Martinez has, hasn't he?
He's
a lot more stage.
He's a bigger guy as well. You see him with his flip flops on holiday.
Yeah.
All that was missing there was a cigar.
Cigar and maybe a Southern Comfort along the beach.
Yeah. He's brought his staff with him as well, Mark.
Yeah. They're all on Twitter. Pretty much.
Jan Klukenberg is loving it, isn't he?
Loving it. He won't be loving it if it goes wrong on Saturday, but no. It's good that they're all on Twitter, but I don't know how long they're going to be on. Yeah, the coaching staff was identified on Twitter itself. You know, they do look some kind of like mob entourage at the back, which is so much more reassuring than looking at Dennis Lawrence and Graham Jones. You know, they look... The coaching staff looks hungry, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean? It looks like, I don't know what I mean by that.
They come with stock, don't they? You know what I mean?
About them, yeah. You know? Yeah.
They come with a high regard, and there is associates, and one of them is his brother. You know, they are people who he's brought in and appointed, and fitness has been a big thing with Everton, hasn't
yeah.
it? You know, it came under the spotlight under Roberto.
Well, I like that at half time against United, I think it was Clute, they was at them all drilling on the pitch and all that, and then they were huddling and all that. I don't think we didn't see any of that last season.
It's intense, isn't it? You know?
It was like, you know, trying to get everyone going, trying to get everyone playing at their best. It's sort of like we don't care who the opposition is.
In goal, he's brought kind of in
mentality.
Yeah, well, in goal, he's brought in Ludovic, is it? And again, you know, since Chris Woods, departed. Well, it's an area of concern, fitness.
Yeah,
you would say defence and in goal are two key areas.
I think it was an area neglected last season. You know, I don't want to keep going on about last season, but you know, it's just the setup is so much better, isn't it? It looks geared to move forward. We're not just at the whim of a, you know, of chance where we're going to turn up and play worldy football for one game. With that, you know, I was thinking about that Wigan fan who got a spot and saying you'll have one great game every 8 under Martinez and 7, you know, bad games. That's pretty much how it worked out last season, you know. But that we seem so much more geared to be consistently better, although we haven't shown it in pre-season, admittedly.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah,
I see you foaming at the mouth. but yeah, so obviously he's came in, 3-year contract.
Yeah. That's about right.
Appointed, you know, all the positive signs that come with that. Also, looking back on his most recent manager, I mean, you know, I'm not going to talk about his time at certain clubs, but obviously that's come into question his managerial experience. But
yeah,
drawing on Southampton, from what I've seen, he's recruited well. He's got the best out of them players. They've been well organised. Always full of pace and energy.
Yeah, that's what I like.
I think we had a decent record against Southampton, to be honest.
Yeah.
Over the past few years, and we've beaten them home and away and what have you. But I was impressed, especially the fact that he basically sold his whole squad to Liverpool over the course of 2 years. And, you know, for him to then bring the likes of, you know, Mane, who ironically is now on to Liverpool. You know, and he's brought Shane Long in. He had to deal with Dejan Lovren leaving. He's had the likes of Stephen Davis.
So
he got him playing brilliantly. Yeah, you know, he brought in Fraser Forster, Ryan Bertrand. These players, Nathaniel Klein, he dealt with him leaving. But he signed players to come in and sufficiently fill their place, and then still kept them up there.
Absolutely, you know what I mean? With all them players gone. But there's always been a real energy behind Southampton. They're a dangerous team, you know, when they're in full flow, and that's what I want. That's how I want Everton to be like next season, you know, constantly. We've got certainly much more attack-minded, better players if you know, so much uncertainty around, isn't there? But, you know, certainly I think Morales and Dalofeu are going to be up for it this season, and they're, you know, really dangerous players on their day. There's always Koeman's signature, there's bags of energy, isn't it, going forward?
Yeah.
You know, always committing men forward, but always lots of quality going, you know, they always... You don't see them, you know, they always counter-attack effectively, don't they, and stuff like that. So that's what we want to see. But also he's got that defensive, we have looked a lot more solid defensively, a few hiccups along the way. But, you know, certainly looks like we're getting the foundation slowly but surely. After the United game, I'm not going off the other games before people say, you know, certainly the United game and Espanyol as well, to be honest, we didn't look, although we lost, didn't look too troubled.
Yeah. Following on from that, we've then obviously moving further down the line this summer, we've gone and appointed Steve Walsh, which it sort of came out of nowhere, that one, didn't it? I mean there was a bit of speculation, and then the you know, apparently rejected an approach or whatever, but I think that one, he signed a contract in May, so something's happened there in early June, hasn't it? Contact's being made, and then obviously Everton have had to pay compensation for that.
I was just supposed to know what conversations have happened to get him to come from Leicester. You know, he's the flavour of the month right now, isn't he? You know, he's the most respected sort of scout there is, or you know, in his job role, that, you know, he's the most sought after guy. So what conversations took place there to get him to come to Everton? You know, something we're not privy to, but it's adding to a confusing summer, because we've shown ambition in getting Koeman and Walsh, a lot of clubs would like to have in their staff. And then we're sort of seeing this absolutely dead period of time where nothing's quite happening. We're sort of, it just looks like the same old transfer window, but then other things say different about the club, do you know what I mean? The new manager paid all kinds of money to get rid of Martinez, paid all kinds to get Koeman in, and Walsh. So the investment in the setups there, it's just, you know, we've got a brand new table, we haven't got a nice tablecloth to go on here.
You were building up towards something there, weren't you? No, I agree. Yeah, it is frustrating, but I mean, I'll come to my views on it. I'm a lot more calmer, to be honest. But
yeah,
the one with Walsh, I don't know much about him, you know what I mean? Apart from the fact that the proof's probably in the pudding, isn't it? Fair play, Leicester City, what they did, the players that they've got, they've managed to keep hold of most of them apart from Kante. But, you know, fair play. And it, someone has been in his ear and, you know, do you want to be part of this project? Come and work with Koeman.
Yeah, that's...
Come and work with Farhad Moshiri and, you know, we're going to look at the infrastructure and setup, but we're also wanting to you to drive the director of football role. And from the top, we've seen Farhad Moshiri come in February. In May, we've seen Ronald Koeman come in June, July, we've seen Steve Walsh come in. We just now need the players to follow.
Yeah, see, that's it. And to be honest, as much as I've started to show some degree of panic on Twitter about what's going on, that's the safety net that's stopping me from going a bit mental, to be honest, about what's going on again at Everton, because that's like, this isn't the same, this isn't Martinez, it isn't Kenway, it's not the old days, you know.
Yeah.
There's that level of ambition's been inserted into the club now, so that's what's keeping me sort of calm. There's clearly a drive there to make us better.
Yeah.
You know, behind the scenes, which is good. Also, you know,
I think it's more of a diplomatic approach, which frustrates fans.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
we all want everything yesterday. And I know it's been a done window.
You look at the Manchester City and Rubinho
example,
and people draw on that, but Everton aren't going to be like that, are they? And plus, you've got to have the lure for players, the attraction, and we haven't got European football. Look at the last two league finishes, bottom half.
I know.
You know, the only attraction for me for Everton going in would be working for Ronald Koeman, playing alongside some of those players who are hugely talented. Apart from that, you know, Goodison Park, in terms of infrastructure, and that, it's not the most appealing. The area, Liverpool, it's brilliant for me and you, but for foreign players, whatever, do they want to be in the Manchesters, the Londons? And this obviously is all a factor, but
I do think they'd open the Grafton again, that we'd get all these players back.
I do think that you know, the foundations and are slowly building towards something. It's just the fact that we're slowly building towards a transfer deadline as well, which
I think
a lot of Evertonians have lost a lot of hair, or it's gone grey over the summer.
It's like we started off with this great big air balloon, you know, of optimism, and slowly but surely we wound ourselves down to an 8th birthday party balloon stuck in the corner of the room. It's like it's been drained a little bit, hasn't it, by what's gone on.
I think there's imminent announcements about myself.
Yeah, I'm Charles Dickham.
I do think either before or after the Spurs game, though, this week or early next week, something's going to happen. Or there could be an announcement late this week and there'll be an unveiling at half-time at Goodison on Saturday, which means they go straight into the squad for the West Brom game the week after. I know people want people signed to bed in, but at the end of the day, I always think if you're good enough, it'll take you a couple of weeks. If you're fit enough, you're in that team, you know what I mean? And I would say Idrissa Gueye probably is an example of that from Saturday. He was only a pre-season friendly, but the kid looks like he won't take time to settle in at all.
He looked great, didn't he? But apart from, you know, the penalty, it was a bit over-exuberance, I think, at the start of his debut. He was looking to impress. Didn't have his head screwed on right, but yeah, it's back. I tell you what, more energy seen in one pre-season friendly in that midfield than maybe the whole of last season.
Yeah. Well, I mean, James McCarthy's full of energy, but
I don't think he's even full of that anymore. I think he's
he just channels it in the wrong way. Anyway, yeah, so Steve Walsh came in.
Yeah.
Moving on to pre-season. I know we've both been on the Al Cody streams, haven't we?
Yes.
Watching any Al game. I think I watched Everton friendly with no commentary the other day.
Yeah, I did as well.
Strange, right?
Very strange.
Yeah.
I decided to commentate it on myself. It was Tyler-esque. But,
go on, I'll try and let you remember all the pre-season results then.
Okay. Barnsley, first off, very convincing, very professional 3-0 win. I think Delafoe scored. Barkley scored a terrific goal, didn't he, on the left?
Yeah.
Getting the ball in. That was a great goal. And I think Morales scored as well that game. And then sort of, that was good. Do you know what impressed me in them games? certainly Barnsley and MK Dons was Shani Tarashash. I think I've said his name right. I've had one San Miguel.
Can you just spell that for us, Mark?
I'll check it with Bully. T-A-R-A-S-H-A-J. I think that was his name. But he looks a terrific player, if you ask me. Like, it plays in between the lines, you know, looks to link up. We looked a lot more fluid with him. I forgot about him. Yeah, I think he looked the part. I know it's Barnsley and MK Dons, and that's fair dues. But, you know, linking up with Delphore and linking up, we looked alive up front, and I thought he had a lot to do with that. You know,
well, let's hope he's not another João Silva or Conor McElhaney.
Or a Juliano Rodrigo, who I thought was going to conquer the world after we beat Wrexham 2-0.
Yeah. But yeah, I forgot about him, to be honest, Mark. But, you know, he is a new signing. We signed him this year. He went back to complete his military service, didn't he? And play for Grasshoppers, yeah. And he's come back. And, you know, he could be utilised. But, it, you know, regardless of the results in pre-season, I know the likes of myself and you won't read too much into it.
No.
I've been refreshed. To be honest, we haven't got no other option to use youngsters because the squad is bare.
Yeah.
Or I think it's refreshing to see these players coming in. The likes of Mason Holgate at Old Trafford the other night.
He looked like
Marcus Rashford, seasoned Premier League player, even though he's a kid. And I thought, you know what? That kid's...
That he rose to the occasion superbly, didn't he? You know,
he was good as John Stones, couldn't he? On the face of it.
I think John Merrill said he was going to be even better than Stones.
Well, they signed him, didn't he? Similar fashion to the way they signed Stones from Barnsley. But, you know, look at the other kids and that have been used. And Conor Grant's got a game, didn't he?
Yeah.
Tarashai, as you said.
I think I was really disappointed in Kieran Dowell. He was a favourite of mine. Having seen him a few times.
But that's why they need to be nurtured, you see.
Yeah.
Whereas Tom Davis come in and took the piss, didn't he? Last game of the season, like, with his look... And his swagger, and now he's got the 5-year deal. He's the sort of one on everyone's tongue, on everyone's lips, isn't
he? He hasn't looked bad pre-season, to be honest. Exactly. He's looked great. And he's a bit of Reid and Bracewell, if you ask me.
But that's it. But the likes of him, Dal, you know, Ty Brown and Brendan Galloway, don't forget them.
Yeah,
What's going on with Luke Garbutt? You've got players there.
And I thought he was a really good player, Luke Garbutt. Now he's found himself so far down the pecking order.
But regardless of that, there is really a core youth there, and again, if you just get the two or three faces that we need of quality, you've got a really good, strong core there. You've got the older players, your Jagielkas, your experience of, you know, your Coleman Baines, you know, Gareth Barry. But then you've got...
I think Coleman needs some competition at right back.
You've got your Gay in midfield, you've got Funes Mori, Stones, you know, potentially a couple of other new faces. You've got Davis in and around the side. But then you've got the vibrancy of Morales to Lafogue, who I think are going to be huge for us this season. And don't get me wrong, I've never been Morales' biggest fan, but the way he's looked, I just think he's well up for it, isn't he? The shackles are off. Yeah. And to Lafogue as well. Keep them two fit and firing. You'll get 10, 15 goals potentially out of one of them. Look at the assists. They're both on fighting for free kicks, corners, penalties. You know, if you've got Luke
Harper. They both score free kicks in pre-season.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with the Lukaku situation, but if you replace him, whoever comes in has got those players behind him, and Barkley as well.
I'll be honest, the way I'm feeling about Lukaku, you could replace him with a shouldering mannequin and you'd get more up front than off him.
Well, I do
appreciate him. Just great goal scorer, but he's no good to us if he's not interested.
Well, so you're beginning to sound like some of our fans last season. He scores goals, but nothing else. Well, I don't really give a fuck if he does nothing else.
He scores goals, absolutely.
Sticks the ball in the back of the net.
As long as he wants to do that, that's fine. He can. Everything else can go hang.
So pre-season's come to a close. We've tried different formations, different styles.
Yeah,
seen different players.
Yeah,
and as you said before, you know, he's gone free at the back on occasion. He'll go direct if he wants to. He's put Delphore up top. It's nice to see a different.
I don't think we're going to see
mentality, isn't it? Yeah. And ideas.
I think we're not going to see constantly two sitting midfielders at home next season. You know, that alone is exciting enough, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? So we're going to see a more proactive approach to winning games at home. I think Heumann's shown, in five games over pre-season, he's got far more adaptability than our previous manager, which is which is good in itself. I think that's what was drilling the players. Nothing was changing. Nothing. You know, no matter what happened in training, it was all the same, wasn't it? But no, signs are there. We do just need that one, even one big signing this week, just to lift it. Don't let us go into their flat. You know, like nothing. You know, we turn up. We're walking around like Texas Pete at the end of the season, thinking this is going to be it. And now we're sort of resembling Spotty Man looking after Super Ted.
What are you talking about here?
Older viewers will know it.
It's meant to be a football podcast.
Ridiculous.
Oh, anyway, back to the pre-season issue. But I know what you mean. I want to come to transfers in a minute.
Yeah.
Because you keep going on about it. But it'll probably take us an hour to go through all the players that have been linked with. So,
yeah, 612.
Let's keep some structure to this podcast for once.
Stop drifting on.
I'm only messing.
Transfers.
To be honest, you're right though. You are right, and you know, I as much as I'm calm about it, I can see, completely get that Evertonians are frustrated. But
yeah,
pre-season's usually your chance to you're eyeing up your new talent, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly.
You're looking at your new players in an Everton shirt and you're like, oh, I'm excited about this. Whereas,
what about him? He doesn't look good.
Martin Stecklenberg between his sticks.
I know.
It's not exactly, it's although he looks good, you know, it's not, it, obviously, we need, it doesn't even have to be a marquee signing, it just has to be a decent, substantial fee. Idrissa Gueye, probably, people think, oh, Villa got relegated, but I think that could be a good signing.
Yeah, he looks a great player. You know, he's a very good player.
On the face of it, will he, Gareth Barry, do the mopping up in front of the back three?
Yeah.
Gaze a bit further ahead, and then Barkley, you know what I mean?
Barry speaking about too. Today, wasn't he, about impressing
exactly
Koeman, so the, you know, as long as he's fit, you can see Barry playing a star. I think he's got more to offer than McCarthy in there, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Obviously. But, yeah, I think what it is, Mark, it's not disappointment, it's just this is the pre-season where we thought things would be different. You know what I mean? And right now, with 3 weeks left to the window, things don't look different. Mm. Even though, quite clearly, behind the scenes, things are changing. They're not changing fast enough on the pitch. And we've waited so long for such ambition to be injected on that pitch. I get why there's diffusers, and I'm short on this.
So what you're saying is,
we thought it was Christmas Day, but we're being told that we've got to wait till Boxing Day.
What you're saying is, 16 years we're waiting for an investment.
I'm not.
And we got it.
And then can we start on Kenry?
Less than 6 weeks, all our fans having a meltdown.
I totally get it, mate. I'm allowed to, because I was having meltdowns for 16 years.
Well, you was. You first opened my eyes to the different views on Everton's ownership, shall we say. But
yeah, I know what you're saying, mate.
I'm trying to be, right, and mature supported about this and trying to be real and think, look, of course I want Rubinho and Ibrahimovic playing off Lukaku, and of course I want that, but I'm trying to be more grounded with this, and the fact that Mascheri's come in, it's cliche, but Rome wasn't built in a day.
No.
I don't believe that he will come here without this long term plan to make Everton a successful outfit. And that takes time. We're always gonna have players who leave. We're always gonna have players that we sign.
Yeah.
As Evertonians, we're used to a lot of shit in the transfer market, let's be honest. But I do believe this domino effect of his arrival, Mascheri's arrival, Ronald Koeman's arrival in the end of Martinez's era, Steve Walsh coming in to embrace this new setup, new coaches, a new
mentality,
a new plan for the infrastructure with the ground, because we all know that we just needed that businessman that has got a bit more nous than Robert Elstone hasn't got any, but do you know what I mean? Now that we've got that, it stages, and unfortunately if the transfer window was the end of December, then no, we wouldn't be having this conversation now, because we'd be like, yeah, it's sound. But the season starts on Saturday, it's 5 days away. I completely see that, but I do have a lot of faith that before the end of the window, Everton will get two or three faces over the line. And some people might stop me and say, well, two or three faces is not enough. We've lost three players. We have.
Yeah.
And we're probably likely to lose another three. When the arse gets in that taxi. I've got faith this time around. I've got a lot of faith. And people are forgetting we've signed a keeper, we've signed a midfielder. We need to bring in now three names. I don't get carried away with the links to Witzel, the links to, you know, Wesley Snyder the other week. You can't read too much into it. No. And then no one linked us with that Idrissa Gueye, and we signed a kid, a prospect who could turn into a world-class Premier League player in the matter of 3 or 4 years. So yeah. You just don't know.
Which shows that the ITKs out there know absolutely nothing.
Exactly. So
you're right, though. You pointed out the fundamental things that have been inserted at the club to give us more than genuine optimism. But it's just, you know, we thought that would be represented on the pitch a lot sooner than it has.
No, I get that. Yeah, I get that.
I think that's what it is, mate.
I get that. And when I joke on Twitter, I'm not having a go at anyone. I'm just...
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong. You've only got to listen to the podcast or any sort of article. I'm a depressive when it comes to Everton. I've got to be honest. I've seen a lot of negativity and I've got sick of it over the years.
Yeah.
But this time, I do feel like a lot is changing and will change.
Yeah.
And I know people want instant success in football, but I believe Mashiri's style and Everton's style is going to be, it might be a waiting game. You might not see any marquee signings till next summer, but then the summer after we might be, you know, building a new stadium. So what's not to get excited about that? I just think there is a long-term plan in place. Eventually, Bill Kenwright and a couple of his colleagues will step away. When Mashiri's got the plan in place, he knows where he's going to go with this club on the pitch and off it, and it'll fit. I do believe it will fit. So, there you go. I've won you over.
That satisfied me completely, but, you know.
I do feel, Mark, that there's transfers, incoming transfers imminent.
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone who works at Finch Farm, but I do feel
like something big's brewing.
There's going to be some major developments. And, you know, by the time we play Stoke on my wedding day.
On your wedding day.
You'll be texting me as I'm doing my vows, saying, wow, we've just signed Axel Witsel there for 27 million. I do believe that there's something going
to
happen.
Try and get it into the best man speech. Yeah, absolutely. But maybe, let's just hope it does, because that's all that's missing, really, because, you know, it's just, we just haven't quite been able to get carried away, have we? I mean, I think we all, see, a lot of people have crappy reality, their lives, you know, shitty jobs or whatever, and Everton is for once we thought there was going to be some fantasy football going on, which is short-sighted, but we just thought it was going to go hand in hand with the investment.
I think that
Everton allows you to escape, certainly when it's going well. It allows you to, I don't know, maybe I'm just overthinking it, but
agree, and I don't doesn't matter what you do, any walk of life, we all speak to fans on Twitter, don't we, all the time. We all do share a love and an interest for them, but we all have different views and we all take the piss out of each other on social media all the time. But the goal is, we all want to sign players. We all want to win the league. Do you know what I mean? We all want a new stadium on the docks.
We differentiate on how we think that's going to be achieved, don't we? You know, we think differently.
It is tough, Mark, because both, you know, me and you, we're not getting any younger. There's lads. I'd love kids below us and our kids to be able to grow up and see Everton lifting trophies. Do you know, even if it's an FA Cup or
a League Cup,
a Europa League, just getting back into the mix of it. So
yeah, you're right. Just hope that, you know, that this is small steps towards what we want to see from Everton. Consist, you know, I think we'd all take a lot of quiet weeks in the transfer window if it meant in the long term that, you know, we got things right and we're consistently successful. It's going to look like a small hit to take, but right now, I think, you know, it's just one of them, isn't it? We're living here and now, but it's just a little bit disappointing at the moment. But it could change overnight.
It could, and I think that's football, isn't it? Yeah. And I think, you know, come Friday, you might be ringing me saying, oh my God, have you seen that? This has happened. And you just don't know. You know, John Stones could sign for Man City tomorrow morning, couldn't he, for 50 million? You think, oh, we've lost another player.
Yeah.
We're going to have to sign another. So
but we're not signing anybody.
But it is one big game of chess.
Yeah.
But on the squad, Mark. Yeah. We've lost Leon Osman, Stephen Pienaar, Tommy Ibbett, and I think all three of them deserve a special mention in this, to be honest. Regardless of what Tommy Ibbett just said in the newspapers, I do feel that all three of them spent different times at Goodison. Brought their own qualities in their own ways. My favourite of those three was definitely Stephen Pienaar.
Same for me, absolutely.
And it was sad to see him pick up injuries and slow down towards the end. I believe he's training with Sunderland, which is nice, to be honest, for them. And, you know, he was released.
When fit, he certainly got the qualities of playing the Premier League.
I, I'll say, you know, I'll definitely say Stephen Pienaar is one of the best players I've ever seen play for
Everton. He was in that team that I really thought could have done a lot better under Moyes, but it was still one of my favourite teams in sort of 07, 08, you know, the UEFA Cup run and all that, where we had Arteta and Kale and Pienaar, Vianney, Kubu, Johnson. I thought it was one of my favourite teams, and Pienaar in that was just instrumental. Do you know what I mean? I thought he was... I got why Moyes brought him to the club totally. He was like, you know, a technician, money, you know, a little, not quite Beardsley, but that kind of link-up player that, you know, I'll never forget his assist for Yakubu ever. It's just gave him the eyes, slid him in, and he buried it in the bottom corner.
I just loved how he'd draw a foul. He was so clever on the ball.
Yeah.
He was a nightmare to mark. I mean,
you could throw the ball to him with about three fellas around him and he wouldn't lose it.
His movement and it's brilliant, and you know, it definitely does deserve a mention here. And all the best to the future Pienaar. Obviously, you're not going to be listening to this, but
no,
we would wish him well.
Absolutely.
Leonardo's been the same, you know, fantastic servant to the club, not everyone's cup of tea. I'm worried now that he's gone, who are we all going to scream at?
McCarthy.
He did become a bit of a scapegoat at times, but Osman was definitely a joke around the club and shared some memorable moments, and he again deserves a great... But he got a testimonial. Yeah. Has he had a testimonial?
I don't know, to be honest. I can't remember. It doesn't stand out.
He must be getting one.
Shake Blues us, we should know that.
Super Blues on Twitter, does anyone know? Tony Ibbett has a testimonial, bloody hell. We were all doing forward roles in the Gladys Street.
I know. The free kick.
But
yeah, look, they've been at the club a long time. Certainly where my cup of tea. I can't stand there and say, oh, I loved them, they were great, and, you know, they were proper Everton. I screamed at Osman more times than I praised him, certainly. But, you know, certainly magical moments. No one will ever forget the Portsmouth winner in about the 108th minute. The Gladys Street, which was just... You know, when them moments when they turned the Gladys Street into a human washing machine, I think, you know, forget the players that may do that. But, you know, absolutely, certainly, a couple of
good
players on his day, but just, you know, yeah, great servant. I believe it at that.
Yeah.
I would say Tony Ibbett, a great servant, but that is someone, a great servant, when they've done nothing for 3 years.
Well, I know, but again, I'm trying to be nice. Pragmatic. With this, and
generally he's been a good servant.
Yeah, in general, you know, he's not been a great player, Tony ever, but he played for the club. He picked up a wage and he liked to tackle. And I wouldn't say there's some great memories in there, but fair play to the lad. You know what I mean? He was an Everton player. We wish him well.
Yes.
Same with Osman. I would definitely say that in terms of popularity, I've just mentioned Pienaar, Osman, and Hibbert, and that's probably the.
I think if you pulled that up here now, we'd be top of that list.
Yeah, of course. If you're Tony Ibbett's comments, I'll come to a bit later.
Yeah,
but on the squad, we've lost three players. We've brought in Martin Stecklenburg in goal.
Looks
all right, doesn't he?
Looks okay.
Yeah.
Look neat and tidy at Old Trafford. No problem there. He looked confident.
Does he start on Saturday?
I think he has to. Yeah, of course. Joel is too much madness for me. We need some kind of new in there. Do you know what I mean? I think Stecklenburg hasn't done his chances anyhow. At all.
Well,
I think he's looked solid enough.
It's been 10 years, and we're now faced with a real change.
It's almost gone unnoticed, hasn't it?
Yeah, we should mention Tim Howard as well. I think we did though last time. But he's gone, and wish him well. But
I would say he's left a big void in the goal, but there was no difference when he was stood in that goal.
To be honest, when someone had a shot, he left a big void next to him. But we've got Stecklenburg. He could well start. I think Joel's commanding. I mean, I remember watching him when he came in. He is commanding and vocal, which is one thing, but I still don't think he's the answer.
No.
Stecklenburg is...
I don't know, yeah. There's just been... He just doesn't quite carry that belief that he is the answer to our problems, does he? You know, with certain things that he does, I don't know. Stecklenburg, though, neat and tidy. We do need a proper goalkeeper in there, if you ask me, a bona fide one.
That's what I'm going to say. Positions?
For me, we need the spine addressing. And I never thought I'd say that, to be honest, but we need a goalkeeper, a centre-back, commanding, a centre-mid, but not so much, you know, we need
a centre-back, though, if Stone stays? Because you've got Mason Holgate as well.
Arguably not, mate. No, arguably we don't. If Williams comes in, that possibly is the writing on the wall, then as regards to Stones, I know people I'd assume if Stone stayed and Williams come in. Williams is a very good player.
Has Jaggy also got a future at the club?
I don't know. He seems to be made of glass lately, Jags, doesn't he? And I love Jaggy. He's a quiet captain. I always think he leads by example more than by his vocal, you know, anything on the pitch. He leads by his own performance. But he's been so injury prone lately, hasn't
he? You've got the potential here for major changes at the heart of our defence.
Absolutely,
Funes Mori's going nowhere. I think he's a bit erratic, isn't he? But you can see there's a good player in there.
Yeah.
Mason Holgate emerging. Does Koeman see him potentially at right back competition for Coleman? I don't know.
Coleman, that's what he
John Stones up in the air, isn't it?
Yeah, up in the air.
You could potentially see Ashley Williams come in and play alongside Funes Mori and John Stones, and Jagielka has phased out. You just don't know, do you?
Absolutely. Well, that's it.
With Ashley Williams is captain material, similar age as Jagielka.
Excellent defender. Let's have it right. People aren't impressed that they're going to sign him. I think horses for courses. If this fella helps us come in and, you know, we get to where we want to be this season, top six, top five, you know, who cares if we sell him after one season? It's all about getting to where we need to be. I think he's a very good
Every
player.
Every time you see him, he's wrestling with strikers, getting himself stuck in.
Nobody's got an inch.
No one at the club like that for 2 years.
No one. He's a defender who loves to defend. Mm. You know, Morey's got a bit of that in him. He's inexperienced and hopefully he'll get better. But I think Williams gets as much pleasure out of making a tackle as Lukaku does at the other end of scoring, you would think. Yeah. You know.
Well, I'd agree about the span. You said about competition for Coleman before. He didn't do too badly the other night like Coleman, but he's just hit and miss, isn't he?
He's not the same as Coleman at the start, is he? He's not that player.
It's a difficult one with him because he can be brilliant 1 minute and look very mediocre the next.
He's lost his ability to go past players as well. Mm. You know, on the right, how many times did he nutmeg or fool someone? You know, on the right and at the start, whipping great balls in.
But then you could say the same about Leighton Baines. But Leighton Baines is about 5 years older or something. But
I think Leighton Baines was quite back to his old self recently. A lot better.
He needs to get his confidence back because he lost it, didn't he? He was always looking backwards for a pass, whereas Baines always went trying to dart and run and good balls, obviously PNR helped with that, but they did. A lot of them seemed to lose the mojo, didn't they?
I think Baines could be like Morales this season. He looked so affected by the whole Martinez thing, didn't he? Yeah. You know, really did. His goal against Bournemouth was like an apology to the fans if you look at his celebration. But he could be like a Morales who could be rejuvenated again under a new manager, I think. I'm expecting a much better Leighton Baines than, you know, back to his old self.
I hope so.
Love Leighton Baines, don't we? He's Everton. Everyone identifies with
him. He's a good lad as well, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Yeah, you know, give the lifts to Old Trafford that time? I think he gave the lifts to the lads home. And that sort of thing, he gets us, you know. And I think, I'm not just saying that, you know, I don't care if people are blues or not, they've got to do a job, but he's, you know, he looks a lot better.
There's been times over the past 2 years he's been more asked about how his hair looks though than who he's going to pass to. And
absolutely.
I think, you know, none of them could avoid criticism from last season.
No. You're right.
To be honest.
But it's just clean slate. Certainly expecting bigger seasons from Baines and definitely Morales this season. You know, hopefully we can do it.
But down the middle, you know, Guy comes in, Bezic gets injured, you think, oh, we need bodies. Darren Gibson gets a new 2 year deal, you're thinking, what's going on there? And he's involved. Who's going to play in that midfield? You need someone. You know the way Stoke went out and bought 16, 17 million on that Mbula?
Yes.
You need someone like that, I think. Is Guy the answer? I don't know. Is he big enough to be the answer? You sort of need someone to come in. And Iarco, only messing. you need someone to come in, don't you? Just to like, right, I'm going to evolve into the new Gareth Barry, but with a bit more about me.
Yeah.
And it's just,
I totally agree.
But there's another 19 Premier League clubs who are looking for a player like that, so we haven't got 200 million to buy Paul Pogba.
Patrick Vieira reincarnate, don't we? That's what we need, you know. For me, crying out above all else, you know, we can wing that for a bit, maybe drop Barkley in there and stuff. We badly need creativity on that pitch. Barkley is now for me not the answer at number 10.
No,
he's, I don't know. Makes too many poor decisions on the ball. I don't know. Maybe he could get better. I'm not Barkley's biggest fan, but I'm just not seeing him in that position. I'm seeing him when he played with Bessie that time against QPR, I think it was 2 seasons ago, and he had a great game. Looked a world beater at the centre. I think that's his position. Number 10, you need a specialist in there. We badly need one, matter for me.
I knew you were going
to
say that.
We have to sign him. For me, it'd be like when we got Beardsley, it'd be that big if we got him. I really believe that. There's no one to unlock the door on there.
But again, Evertonians, a lot of Evertonians are like, nah, I don't want Juan Mata to me.
Don't want Juan Mata, that's just ridiculous.
Who in the Premier League, what, I mean, Chelsea got rid with the Mourinho situation, United look like they'll get rid. It's like he's too good of a player, but he won't fit into people. But imagine Juan Mata slotting the balls to Telefoma, Barkley, Lukaku. To me, that's mouthwatering.
Yeah, 100%. Just one player, one signing, one get it over the line. He's not wanted at Old Trafford. He's clearly been humiliated there in the last game against, forgive me.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Who did he play?
Leicester
in the Charity Shield, yeah. It was just Community Shield even. He got humiliated. That was Mourinho clearly telling him that, you know, there's no future for you there, because there's no need to do that. But I just think we should make him our number one target.
But again, it's down the middle of the team.
He's the catalyst that we need. And then we need another striker. But what kind of striker? Do we need a Boney where he's going to hold the ball up? And a lot better than Lukaku, I think he would do that as well, to be honest with you. Boney gets in the mood, he's a lot.
Let's be honest, I love Lukaku, but he couldn't hold a conversation.
He can in Belgium, mate, when he's talking to the press.
Oh, yeah, off the top,
hey, he rolls right off the tongue there. But no, so what kind of striker would we go for? You know, it's like, I don't know, do we need a fast, nippy young striker, like, you know,
a Franny Jeffers?
A Franny Jeffers. Or do we need a Kevin Campbell up there? I don't know.
I know, it's an interesting one, you know. We certainly need something more than a corner, you put it that way.
Oh my God, it's, you know, that's why I feel like I put a tweet up before saying it's 5 days till the season starts and Coney's still at number nine. You know?
I'm watching that Premier League years last night, Mark, and he showed that Sunderland game when he scored the hat-trick.
I know.
Oh, he looked like a world beater.
What happened then? Completely rested on his laurels, did he?
Doing the little camel celebration at the Gladys.
You can only do that celebration if you're going to follow it up with another 12 goals. You can't be doing that and then doing nothing for 8 months.
He's just like, I don't know, it's not going to work. He's there. It wouldn't surprise me if he stayed, because Koeman might say, right, we'll keep Lukaku.
He's like having a lodger him. He only gets the shop in him once every 6 months.
Yeah. Like, how do you think these?
Wait, that's the last one I'm going out with. I interrupted what you said.
Or like that mate who'll get the round in once every 4 nights out or something.
Yeah, but then want maximum praise for that round. Yeah.
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 And then dye his hair blonde. And picture himself riding a camel.
Start doing camel walks after a death.
Honestly, I agree about the squad depth. Down the left hand side, I think it's a concern. Oviedo, not my cup of tea, not really an offensive player. Baines is going to be in a position. Who else is there? Do you know what I mean? We've always had a bit of an outlet, be it a Kilban, be it a Stephen Pienaar,
yeah,
or as Martinez liked, a Kone, or a Naismith out left.
Or anyone who couldn't play left mid.
But to be honest, like we could do with someone who's creative, but Juan Mata's left footed, do you know what I mean? He's not a winger, but I don't know, I just feel we do need creative, especially left side.
Yeah,
like
we're not going to get him, I think he's injured as well, but like a Cazorla type player, do you know what I mean? Someone like that who can link the play up but also add width, and I don't know, you know, it's just, I know Cazorla plays central mostly, but I'm thinking left side of central. But
if only Farhad was sitting here with us now.
I know, I mean, you know, I think he wanted to come tonight as well, but he had no petrol left in his yacht.
And I've got no Jaffa Cakes left.
No, you see, I promised everyone Jaffa Cakes and there's none here. None. Farhad, get him along, bring the Jaffa Cakes along. Let's get them Fitbirds and a couple of signings, mate, and we'll have a beach party.
He'll turn up in a suit, an old swan. He'll be welcome with open arms.
He's going to lift home as well, mate, after.
But yeah, that's the squad. Or lack of it, shall we say.
Yeah.
But you have got the likes of Tom Davis, Mason Holgate, you know, Brendan Galloway, that are going to be
at least
on that bench.
Yeah,
I would like to think they'd be involved. Tom Davis looks a man amongst, you know.
Yeah,
remember that last game of the season? A nothing game, to be honest. But The kid just looks mature beyond his years, as does Mason Holgate.
And I think game on, he's got to show his ability, hasn't he?
Oh, you know? Yeah, yeah. If you've got that, I think, you know, they could go a long way. But
I agree.
By the by, we still need players, so I can just about see that piece of paper now. The light's gone off. But yeah, they're the only incomings and outgoings.
Yeah.
But we've been linked with so many players. We've just covered a few of them then, haven't we? Just off the script here.
There's been so many.
We've been linked with Axel Witsel, Juan Mata, Marko Arnautovic. That was a clever one, wasn't it?
Oh,
William Carvalho. What was the other lad?
Boney.
Boney.
William
Schneiderlin.
Someone I'd have.
Guy Stechlin. Sorry, we've signed him. Stones and Lukaku have been linked with away. Your kid messaged you before. Balassi, 18 million.
Yeah. Apparently the Guardian are reporting tonight that we've been, I don't think that's enough, to be honest with you, mate, to get him. But
haven't someone gone for him before? I'm sure.
Yeah, like maybe.
Was it Spurs?
May have been Spurs, yeah. Yeah. Seems a Spurs type player, doesn't he? But I don't think 80 million would be enough, but I don't know. Maybe he's in the last year of his contract, I'm guessing. I don't know. But I think he's a terrific player, but again, on his day, does he have enough of them days?
Have we not got options in them areas, Don says, in the last
right hand side, we have.
He's central, still as the central figure now with
I completely agree. We seem over, that's the one area that we seem overloaded on, don't we? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is he where, is there more, I think there's a lot more priority, there's more priorities needed. We need to focus, I'll even get that out of way. We need to focus our attention on other areas first, absolutely.
It's just though, it's a different player every day, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
We need that number 10 to create the spark. There's no spark in the midfielder. There's nothing. All we're relying on is a bit of individual brilliance from Morales or Delfo or even Lukaku. And I've only had one drink.
But that's it. I think fans. It's like when we appointed Koeman, you know, we got linked with every man and his dog as the manager, didn't we? And we all thought, wow, we're going to take over the world. But I do think you have to remain grounded. I'm not saying don't be ambitious, but be realistic with your targets. And as I said before, the attraction of Everton, there might not be a lot of attraction there. You know, as a supporter, you think the world of the club. But as a player, if you want to come in a career and win things, or playing Europe, then Everton don't offer that at the moment. Let's be real about it.
If you had that new stadium now, you just wonder how many players we would have signed.
Well, that's it.
You know, I know Goodison's getting a revamp, isn't it, as well? But that's not going to count for much in the short term. But
you know,
signing players,
money's a lot. But I think Everton, even if they've got more money now, they're not going to start giving people 180 grand a week or 160 grand a week like Sammy and Nasri who have been linked with.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not going to happen. We still have to. We still have to like sort of keep our. I know it's
keep an eye on the back door.
Yeah, keep to your values as well, and have a bit of normality. Because if you go overboard, then we've seen how it can fail. I don't. I'm probably just talking all this shit. Go and give them 250 grand a week as long as we win the league or something. I'm not bothered.
And as long as you get them in before Saturday tonight, Everton.
I mean, Farhad, we're asking much, are we?
No.
Build that stadium. I want to see Joe Anderson down there with his rigger boots on and a high-vis laying those first bricks by Saturday.
Yeah.
And I want to see Ashley Williams, Boney, Witzel and Mata in an Everton trackie on Goodison Road at 1:05.
Oh, that would be terrific. Yeah, signing programmes.
But I'm not asking much.
No, signing, writing their names in on the team sheet at the back where it's not even filled in yet.
The next item, Mark.
Yeah.
Was youngsters, but we've covered it.
We have. Well, do you know, we're that good. We've already covered it.
That's just amazing, isn't it? But what are your thoughts on that? I've spoken a bit about them before, but
youngsters. Well, there seems to be a little bit of lack in the striking areas, like coming through. But maybe Tarrasch can be that answer. I'm getting used to his name, but I know we've signed him. But certainly, mate, the excitement is all with Tom Davis. And you can see why England invited him to train with the seniors, I think, maybe even a year ago, wasn't it? When he was only 16. Kid's got something about him, you know. He's we yearn for players who remind us of our greatest teams, and I yearn to see another, not greatest teams, but I'd love to see another Kanchelskis playing for us, you know what I mean? But certainly, all-time greats. When you look at Tom Davis, there is definitely a bit of Reedy about him. A bit of Bracewell. There's just that, he's got that mix. Probably going overboard, but who cares? You know, it's It's the way I see it. I just think he's got it all.
It's nice to get excited though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I haven't moaned that much this pre-season. It's nice to get, you know, I'm going to talk positively. I'll do it with the same zest as I'll moan about something. But yeah, Tom Davis is clearly where the excitement's at for the youth. Excellent player.
And he got a new contract.
Yeah.
5 years, was it?
5 years, to stop him from doing it at Jeffers, maybe.
Yeah.
Going off to Arsenal and ceasing to exist.
The signs are bright, and not every Premier League team gives youth a chance, but... Some players,
it's not enough for fans. Youngsters don't excite fans, do they? You know, it's signings that excite fans. But this fella is certainly one to get excited about.
Especially more older supporters who come in and say, oh, there's a lot of kid there who's come in. I remember my granddad used to go on about it, you know. You'd sign a foreign striker and then my granddad would take a year to learn how to pronounce his name. Whereas as a young Scouse kid or, you know, English kid coming through, British kid... just a youngster, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter where he's from, I suppose, but he'd get excited by that, and I think it's good because we've got them across the pitch. We just could do with a young keeper and a young striker as well to be like, wow, we've really got a good setup. But I think
we're certainly winning enough trophies at that youth level.
I know, you know, they're doing well.
Then the one under 23, was it the Liverpool Senior Cup? I think they won, didn't they, as well the other day? They won two trophies in a week, wasn't it, I think. So certainly it's looking great, you know, so, at youth level. Unsworth doing a great job.
Yeah, and there's...
Feedy as well, yeah.
There's a few other bits we need to discuss before we probably finish and look at the fixtures, because we've got to start looking at the fixtures.
Oh my
God,
crazy.
Have you got some fans' views?
I have, bear with me 1 second, let me drag them up. I haven't got them, I didn't memorise them.
Well, that's fine, yeah, we asked supporters a question on Twitter before, didn't we?
We did.
Because we do like to include the fans, you know.
Absolutely. Let me think.
Our views aren't always right.
Not always.
Usually at 11:30 on a Saturday night, they're never right. but yeah, we've got some other items to discuss as well.
We asked, I think it was to do, you know, we I know this is like pissing everybody off, to be honest with you, what's going on in the transfers, but we asked anyway, what's the minimum Everton need to bring in before Saturday? And a lot of people said that...
Maybe, how many replies did you get? 4,000?
Only 3,000 tonight. I think a lot of people are working nights. No. You know,
I'm going to find some out.
I'm just looking through them now. One second. I tweet so much, I have to go.
Just do us a favour, close all them dating apps down first. And then.
Got a bit trying to say hello there to me, but you know, needs must as the devil drives, love, I'm working. But now, I think people are more realistic. The same before the window shuts, we need 4. Stones to go, maybe 2 centre-backs. This is Joe Carroll, says that we need 2 centre-backs, a centre midfielder and a striker, ideally 5 with a goalkeeper. See, a lot of people, wait a sec, am I stalling because I can't get him up? 1 second. A lot of people acknowledge that it's the spine of the team that needs addressing.
Yeah, down the middle.
Paul Williams, Willow, 1971, 4 minimum, goalkeeper, central defender, midfielder and a forward. Again, this is just basically people just saying it's, you know,
similar
it's
team,
fine.
Yeah.
All I'm getting is 4. We need a centre back, a striker. Carlos Blue says striker, seriously, we need 1. It's a mess, this.
Mick
the Toffees, but we need a keeper, centre half, left sided midfielder, winger, a box to box midfielder, I think that's spot on, and a striker, and that's just for the first 11, and the squad needs a lot more urgently. We've got people are still mentioning McGeady still being on the books.
I know, well, that's a thing, isn't it? We didn't really cover up with the squad, but Niasa's going to go, isn't he?
Yeah.
McGeady's surely nailed on to leave. Yeah, Colney, I think, will get away with it, won't he?
It's hard to think that these people are still at the club, you know.
It's mad that Niasa one, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, just what was the motive behind signing him?
Who signed that transfer?
Who looked at that? I think, honestly, criminal action needs to be taken there, to be honest.
I don't really feel sorry for him, but when you look at it, it's like... We've had a bit human. I mean, no millionaire gets humiliated, let's be honest, but it's embarrassing, isn't it, the way it's worked out?
Absolutely.
But it's not just embarrassing for the individual, it's embarrassing for his employers, and it's a mistake by Everton.
I totally get it, totally.
And when I looked at that last 13. Night...
13.5 million.
Premier League goals and Naismith by Naratic and against Chelsea. Do you know what? He wasn't everyone's cup of tea, Stephen Naismith. But fair play to the lad. He left, didn't he? Because he wanted to play. Unfortunately, got relegated.
Yeah.
But, you know, then we spent another 8 million plus 5 million on the arse. And the kid just looks completely in the wrong sport.
Well,
never mind, the wrong kid.
He looked like Bambi on ice for most of it, didn't he? You know. Hang on, I've got them up. Right, John Nelson. It's enough chit-chat, let's go through them. Because they have been good enough to respond in. John Nelson's put, we need a goalie, defender and midfielder. Some serious business needs to happen this week. Seddo, great guy, said three minimum. It's a linked issue, this, though. The window should start the day before the season starts so teams can focus on what they have.
Get well soon, Seddo. Absolutely. He had an injury, lad.
Hope you're well, mate.
Still trying to play footy at the age of 40 or something, aren't you?
It's just knocking on the head, mate. Admit that it's over. Roger Armstrong, but we need a keeper. One centre-back, a playmaker and centre-forward. So, a spine. And his four players would be Hart, Ashley Williams, Juan Mata and a striker, not Benteke.
Well, apparently Liverpool want 30 million for Ben. I don't think they're going to get that, but... They will let him go.
Rob Daniels has put, we're already too late. We need three in before next Saturday, but he's not holding his breath.
Let me have a read of this. Pass
the summer's been a joke. I've got them all here. Watch top. He's
who's this one here with a burp song?
That's a private matter.
Bloody hell. No wonder you're on Twitter 24/7, you. Watch Toffee, what's he saying? A spine, back to front. Is he talking about you or ever?
I think he's talking about me. I wouldn't say I was spineless. And now we get that watch Toffee.
You've replied to everyone as well. You've got too much time on your hands. You
it's
know.
That bus journey up to your house. I was bored stiff and I forgot my headphones.
Yeah, there's been... It is a similar theme though, isn't it? You know, a lot of our fans...
A lot of people just saying spine, and I completely agree.
Mm.
You know, spine. It's four players. But what we're not flush with is ideas of who we're going to get as a striker. You know, well, that's, imagination.
Let's talk about it then. We've been linked with about 40,000 midfielders, but up front, really, Wilfred Bony was obviously cruising our town on Saturday.
Yeah, getting people. I think he's just done that for the hell of it. No, maybe there's a lot of truth.
For me, I'd take Wilfred Bony all day.
Absolutely. Well, you
know, Bony and Lukaku up top. But people are looking at, oh, is there a replacement for Lukaku?
And all, there's all this confusion going on.
At the end of the day, who else are you going to sign? That's the worry, isn't it? Stones. I'm not saying he's replaceable because he's a hugely talented lad.
Yeah.
But he doesn't score your goals, and to be honest, for the past 2 years, he didn't really keep out many goals.
No, exactly. But he is a hugely talented lad, destined for a great career.
Of course.
But what? I don't know.
Lukaku, again, not everyone's cup of tea.
It's swinging break.
But the statistics...
It's simply not in it.
Yeah, it just... It's difficult.
Lukaku, mate, I get the argument, he's a goal scorer. We haven't had one for years. We probably won't have another one like him for years. But if his heart's not in it, it's just no good for us.
So,
I've often thought, like, and people are going to shout me down for this, I've often thought, like, a Theo Walcott would be great for Everton, you know? Like that goal he scored yesterday against Man City. It was a terrific goal, and that's the sort of, that we've missed that, and I know he's forever offside, maybe we can coach that out of him, but someone like that, I know he's not leaving Arsenal, but someone like that, who drifts in, you know, and has got that eye for a goal, and
I
get you 15 goals.
Two I thought was Giovinco and Dzeko, but both probably unrealistic targets, but...
Ed and Dzeko?
Yeah, for different reasons, really.
I often thought he was far too lazy, that far. Well, I don't know if he'd fit into
the team. He up, though, Ed and Dzeko, but he went and left City, didn't he, on loan? I don't know, to be honest, Mark, because I don't play champ manager anymore. But
would Oliver Giroud be a good sign? No, he's finding himself out of favour at Arsenal.
But if, you know...
Unless I'm talking complete bollocks. He seems to be out of
it. I think the number 60 bus turns quicker than Giroud, though, to be honest, man. Our fans would have a meltdown if they had Lukaku and Giroud.
It'd just be like the Iron Men on Crosby
What's
Beach.
What's that red light flashing there?
There's the battery going on my laptop.
Someone's, oh, is it? Someone's,
oh, it, I don't know, it could be a plane landing.
Someone's got a laser on us, didn't it?
We're getting...
It's set up. Oh, yes.
It's normally me look, trying to look in to see what you're up to, but I'm inside tonight.
Right, steady on. So yeah.
So we do, you know, what really we should have asked that. Who the hell are we gonna sign up front?
I know, yeah. But then you get all the 17-year-old hipsters who reply with all these mad names because they watch, you know,
La Liga.
They watch every single game. But yeah, I honestly don't know, Mark. Looking around the Premier League, the two players we've been linked with at centre-half and up front, Boney and Williams, right?
Yeah.
They're not everyone's cup of tea. Williams is older.
Yeah.
But it's ultimately, it's proven in the Premier League. If you're going to go and pluck players from the Premier League, like we did with Idriss Agai to an extent,
yeah,
and we did with Ronald Koeman, you know, from Southampton, yeah, then...
Pluck proven.
Exactly. You're going to go and pay 25 for Boney. You're going to go and pay 15 for Ashley Williams. You think 40 million for them two players? Well, yeah. You might have to pay that.
Yeah.
But if you want, you need to do that, or you sign two Idriss Agais who are sort of, you know, unsatisfactory in terms of names and profile. Yeah. For me, we need different. We need young, up and coming players like we've signed. But we also need experience as well, and we also need big names, because that's what gets the fans, that's what gets bums on seats.
Well, that's sort of, the fans have committed 33,000, I think it's even more, season tickets committed, so, you know, the fans, you do need to reward that, mate, with some kind of, you know, transfer present.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying. There has got to be that show of ambition in the transfer market. You know, it's great what's going on behind the scenes, but it's not quite enough at the moment. But it's certainly, you know, it's great what's going on, but we just need to see it replicated in the transfer market.
Come to fruition, yeah.
That's what I was trying to think of, fruition. But I was thinking Back to the Future, I mean, what the flux capacitor, that was what I was doing my mind.
So anyway, there's some other things as well. I don't know what order to do them in, but...
Yeah,
Roberto Martinez as the Belgian boss. That was funny seeing Lukaku and Mahrez. It's like two school kids.
Yeah, absolutely. That was like going on holiday with your new bird and finding your ex on the same flight, same hotel, same room. But absolutely, must have been awful. I actually felt sorry for a millionaire footballer.
To be fair, I'd like to know who his agent is.
I think it's the same as Philip Senderos's.
He's blagged that, hasn't he? Let's
How
be honest.
How the hell has he got that?
Do you know what? I'm not going to...
No.
I hope he does well with him, to be honest. I do hope he does well.
He's going to change the habit of a lifetime if he does do well.
Yeah.
With you know, but maybe he's got...
They're currently rioting in Brussels as we speak.
I know. Wouldn't you think that poor place has gone through enough turmoil lately? What an absolute kick in the nuts that is.
The fucking...
Matt Wilmots must have been horrendous, that's all I'll say for him. You know, I feel like getting, you know, a Belgian flag above my name on Twitter now, I feel desperately sorry for him.
Civil war will break out in Belgium, and Martinez will be standing in the middle saying, everything's going to be alright, you know.
Comical Bobby will call him.
You're just showing great character in your attacking style and the protests.
I just thought we attacked with phenomenal pace against the Flemish.
And there's obviously people saying, Alassa retired from international football, to be honest.
I think
he can't get in the team anyway, I don't think, can he? So again, I don't think he's going to have that problem. But
we haven't talked about Sam Allardyce getting the England manager job, which for me was akin to Mike Bassett. I just thought I was watching Mike Bassett again. Martinez is the same kind of an appointment.
I think England, they've just got sick of paying top dollar to bloody foreign managers with no personality, and then Hodgson,
who
isn't foreign, but he's got no personality. To be honest, Allardyce is giving them a kick up the arse, but let's be honest.
You need someone who's going to, an England manager who's going to take a shit off and I'm like, oh, we just need that, mate. And I think they've got it now.
It's already cringy thinking of the next bloody campaign, World Cup, oh my God, what's he going to be like? He'll be having a bevy in the square with the England fans.
Mate, I think it's me, to be honest.
But anyway, the focus is not Belgium and England, so let's get back to it. It is quite humorous that we can, 6 months ago, we were sitting here slagging Roberto Martinez off for 2 years. on this podcast, and then now he's, you know, the manager of one of the most promising sides in world football.
I mean, that is crazy. We need something like that to happen to our transfer market, don't we?
Dave Whelan, sure love.
Oh,
you know, because I broke my leg, I got him that job.
Justifiably, yes. Yeah, the broken leg contributed to the
anyway appointment. Tony Abbott's comments in the paper.
Yeah, I took particular umbrage to this, and I haven't took a lot of offence. There's some that I've tried my best to keep the faith blowing.
You know, there was a few comments which made me chuckle, to be honest.
I thought it was absolutely bang on. None of it made sense either. Cordis not speaking to him, and yet he's still training at Finch Farm. There's got to be some kind of dialogue there. Or I just thought it was a bit rich, to be honest with you. A player who hasn't played for 3 years, 45 minutes I think he racked up last season, a joke sort of, it was like a joke cameo, wasn't it, against Bournemouth, where he just got encouraged to shoot for 45 minutes, raked in a couple of million, or just over 1 million, for a player. Now, had he played a pivotal role last season, not that anybody did, but, you know, and played consistently, done well, and then been shown the door, and then I would have completely understood where he was coming from. But to cream off the top the way he has done for 3 years, quite shit, you know, didn't want to seek football elsewhere, could have maybe dropped down the Championship, as a lot of players do, and find football. Quite happy to Winston Bogard it and sit on the bench and fish for 3 years. Thought it was incredibly rich to come out and slag the club off. One last thing, I actually rejoiced at that statement. We are no longer the people's club. We are a ruthless business. That has been so far, we've been waiting so long for Everton to be run like that. It's not a jobs for the boys club anymore, is it? He's just spitting his dummy out because they haven't given him a 1 year contract extension for doing jaff. You know, anyway.
You don't get paid 30 grand a week just to
30 grand a week, you know, if you're trying to get sympathy.
I know. To be honest, I find it very tough to really come out and criticise him. No, I did take the piss and lost the plot a bit on Twitter, like most people did, but for me, the snide, why do you go to papers? It's not an Everton thing to do, that.
No.
And especially a Scouse thing.
That's maybe showing, I've heard a few stories about Everton, they're never favourable, to be honest, about his character outside.
Like, he seems the type, though, Mark, who keeps himself to himself. You know, he likes his fishing, family man, whatever. You know, a local born, he sticks to his roots. He's not. He's level-headed. A bit like Leon Osman.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Don't fancy Dan. No.
Yeah.
No, you know, big facade or anything.
But just then, when
he's out the door, he's at the fucking, was it the Daily Mail?
Mail, one of the worst papers.
One of the ranks. I just think, what's going on there? And then to me it was confusing. He didn't need to do that. Now he's tarnished his name.
Yeah, completely. Well, he's probably not completely, but he's burnt
a few bridges as well, hasn't he? With the people who are still giving him free facilities to train every day.
And possibly imagine further down the line.
Imagine being a millionaire and getting to go and train at a Premier League football club's training complex every day.
I think my overwhelming message is...
They'll have the audacity to go and get a fee off the papers to grass them up.
Criticise. You know, he clearly doesn't need the money, so was it worth it?
You've got people on Twitter, don't Mark, going, oh, you know, success at any cost was just horrible to anyone.
Rubbish.
And then the older fella's going, where's fair play, a phone call only takes 2 minutes. That should have simply happened.
Yeah.
But to come out and go to the papers like that, for me, you're grassing up the employers who've stuck by you since you were a kid and played you an absolute fortune for only being a decent footballer. Let's be honest,
let's face it, he's an average right back.
Someone who could probably go and play 3 or 4 years at Blackburn or Bolton.
But
or
I think it says it all for me that he's been in the club for 25 years. Not considered a legend by any stretch of the imagination. Which tells you, you know, hasn't ever reached the heights, has he, of like people who have stayed at the club forever. You think, you know, Big Nevin and players like that. And I know we're talking about Tony Abbott, but, you know, people pretty much forgot him. Well, we wanted to forget him a lot sooner. I personally thought he should have been sold after the Chelsea final in 09. But bit rich. You haven't done nothing for 3 years. You've coined it in. You got a contract extension in that time as well. So I think sometimes it's just better to say nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think which is a bit rich coming from me.
Well, it's a good way to end it.
110,000 tweets.
The stadium. Now, the plans for the new stadium and the Goodison revamp to like any other business things that we should mention. But
yeah.
Goodison, obviously people have said, oh, why are they doing it up and stuff? But the thing is, what do? You leave it into disrepair for 2 years?
I think it's a good thing.
2-3 years, 5 years until we get a new stadium, council funded, you know, for the Commonwealth Games. Or 10 years. To be, you know, we throw a bit of different cladding up on a few things, the Everton fans forum. I'm not their biggest advocate, but you know what, fair play, just do the place up. Rather than just bloody putting new cubicles in and Betty doing a bit of bleaching, do the place up, because people come there, people flock there, new fans come, kids come.
Well,
it needs to be a nice environment, and it will never lose its originality of horseshit and beer, betting slips.
The horseshit and burgers need to stay.
And beer, exactly. We love all that, and you know, policemen standing around eating hot dogs all day. We love all that match day sort of mentality in the area. Obviously, L4 is not the most affluent.
But it's our home. So
it is our home, and it's unique. But do Goodison up, that's fine. If you've got a few quid to do it, then don't just fucking moan about it. That's what our fans moan about, not having no money in that. That's what I don't get.
And then when we
have money and start planning a new stadium and throwing a lick of paint and new cladding and renaming stands and that, then I'm like, why are they doing that?
If it's only for 3 years, so be it. But so what? You know, just do
make your surroundings better until you move on.
Yeah, and I think, do you remember, not name dropping, but we don't interview enough people to name drop, but Big Ness said the same thing when we spoke to him about making the match day more of an experience for fans, didn't he? You know, and said that, you know, we've got to, it's got to be less. His last season felt like a complete show, you know, and you're looking at that fucking stand walking down the Ladder Street with his words all yellow. I think it's like someone's pissed all over.
I think I spent more time in the concourse and in the William Hill on the corner than I did watching it.
Yeah, and I think they've thrown a few quid into the William Hill as well. No,
I'm joking. But
I've done it up.
I agree. Southport said that, and I think the fan zone is massive. That's a great thing that they do, the fan zone. I really do think Everton deserve praise for that. But you know, the whole match day experience of around that, it'll only add to it. You know, the way they put the Holy Trinity on the side of the stand, that's just brilliant. That they renamed the stand after Philip Carter and Howard Kendall, which we do need to mention here today. A nice touch, bit mouthy like, but do you know what I mean?
You're right though, you're spot on though, mate.
I'd have to change my Twitter username as well. I'm sure Big Howard wouldn't mind.
Not at all. How a Kendall stand is just, you know, terrific.
It's fitting, isn't it? You know what I mean? But these
and it's the Gladys Street as well, you know. So
that's what I mean. These things, we're evolving as a business. We need to be coming up with ideas. You can't just stand still in this day and age.
No.
And if there's a plan in terms of the new stadium, which you want to come to now, in the background, then I'm happy for them to do what they want to Goodison, as long as there's a vision for the future. And for once, we're not cap in hand.
Exactly. And, you know, there's... Even that in itself shows that there's, you know, there's not an acceptance anymore. There's a desire to make us look better, no matter how temporary or you know, permanent it's going to be. You know what I mean? So we might not be good at something for the next. We might be good at something for 2 more years tops, if that report anything to be believed, with Joe Anderson and all that. But if we can make it look stunning for 2 years, you know, that's 38 home games. You know, where people are going to have a good time.
Big Joe's going to have to come on the Everton Fan Focus podcast, I think. I think he lives around the corner from me.
Get him on.
Do you know, I've got a few council issues I want to talk to him about, the bin service and what have you, but I want to really press him on this Docklands Stadium, to be honest.
I need to know that Stonebridge Cross document was crossed off the list pretty quickly. Yeah.
Joe tweeted a bit of a hint the other day, didn't he?
And he went
to see Liverpool's main stand, and he said, you know, the view of down the Docklands, and he said, yeah, it'll be a lot better soon, that view. So there's something in the offing, but that picture...
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Oh,
didn't you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
All full time Twitter, didn't see that.
Didn't see that. Too busy grafting.
What, with women?
Was it the weekend?
No. You need to have a look at that. He was hinting, but you know, that picture of Ken Wright, Mashiri and Anderson and positive talks, we needed to bring that back, because there was a point, I think Elstone made comments, didn't he, at the AGM or whatever it's called. Yeah. And then Joe Anderson come out with a counter argument the next day. And it's like, bloody hell, we're pissing this relationship up the wall before it's even got going.
Exactly.
Things have changed now.
Things have changed dramatically, I would say, on that front.
I mean,
you know, everyone's best of friends now.
That's the dream, you know.
But that is the tourism,
tourism walking around.
All this stuff we're doing now, that is the crux to all good things for us. We need that stadium badly, and we need it to be iconic. We need it to be on the waterfront, and we need it to block out that giant hole punch stood on Stanley Park there.
You're talking about Jurgen Klopp?
I am.
Oh, sorry, you meant the main stand.
I don't know how accurate his teeth are on paper, but yeah, the main stand. But, you know, it is about them. It's about us looking bigger than them. It's about us, you know, showing them that, you know, at the moment they're doing that silly hyena thing that they do. Hills Have Eyes, where they're laughing at us. I'm not on about it. They sort of do that. Liverpool fans have no sense of humour. So when they try and laugh at you, they just look possessed. There's no humour to it. So it's raw anger displayed as humour. Do you know what I mean? So that's my experience with Liverpool fans. They're laughing their asses off at us, Royal. Oh, we need to shut them up with some stadium on that front. Stadium on that front. Block out the sun so it's constant darkness. If we could get some kind of James Bond Icarus thing going on, you know, Die Another Day type thing going on, where that's the well, I mean, to be honest, they'll feel at home in Norway, won't they? It's constant darkness over there. But no, let's just for once steal a fucking march on them and really be the envy of the Premier League, not just the City of Liverpool, with what we're going to do next.
Because okay,
I'm
getting this fucking tattoos on my back. Fucking yes. Talk about
a San Miguel on a roll.
Talk about a rally track. Oh my God.
I think that, you know, that's just the way I feel. I'll take whatever comes now. Slow steps. 10th, 8th, 6th, 4th. Oh, 4th. That's saving me. First.
Usmanov builds his own landing pad on top of the lava building.
On top of the lava building.
We can see it now. We're all riding down.
He dumps the biggest load of blue paint all over Anfield.
On Coney's camel. We're riding into town, season ticket to the score, we're fucking drinking.
Hey, Liverpool are advertising on City to try and fill their home game, so let it bring it on.
Bring it on.
Because the tourists have vacated.
Koeman's installed Amsterdam-style cafes on the concourse, red light district.
This is like one of our tweets.
Oh my God.
Hey. Space cakes for sale outside Goodison Park.
But to be honest,
the
past 2 years I've felt like I haven't wanted to get me through 90 minutes.
I know, but you know what? I've got to say, as a fan, and ever since the day I walked into Goodison, 30 years ago this year actually, in September, against QPR, I'll never forget that day. When I go on Saturday, the excitement of seeing that pitch, no matter, fucking forget everything else, the excitement of seeing that pitch again, for the start of a new season, is something that, you know, never leaves you, don't it? You know, it's that thrill. And you get it every home game you go to. You know, and I'm absolutely buzzing that it's the start of the season
you
again.
You feel like
you can return to normal now.
You see the same faces, the same smell.
The same smell.
Same sight.
Same fume. The same... But it's all great. It's our fume. It's our sight. It's our smell.
I can feel an article coming on with that. The smells of football, was it? Mick Rathbones and that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I agree. Ben.
That's our Ben. That
I agree. Man.
I know we get a mention.
Look what West Ham have done. You know, West Ham was one of the best away games, wasn't it? Mm. Let's be honest. We've all done forward rolls around Upton Park because it is Upton Park. I don't know what people
say. Bowling ground.
Trying to be hipster and be clever calling it the bowling.
It was always Upton Park when I. You know.
They move with the times, and you know their owners are twats, and the, you know, a lot of the fans.
Now when he's photoshopping pictures of snakes in his pond, I don't know what that was about.
You know, let's hope that there is a future down on the Docklands, and you know.
Let's hope because that for me is central. I mean, we all know it, don't we? You know, but if Joe Anderson is rightly getting excited, and he doesn't seem the type of bloke to get excited over nothing.
Well, I've seen him when Bexley's opens in Old Swan, though, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. he's an excited chap.
I'm only messing Joe, lads.
In the right circumstances.
I'm only messing Joe. But, yeah, if he could deliver that, it'd be... phenomenal.
Just phenomenal. It would be beautiful. Do you know what? Fuck it. Stick Martinez back on the mural as long as we're on the Docklands.
You know how many times the Mersey and the Lava Building and the Pier Heads pictured on a daily basis in association with Liverpool?
I'm thinking the Three Queens.
Everton just to be snidely plop, put in the corner there. I know. And then Liverpool to be just stuck in Anfield.
And they're gonna look in the biggest shit up on it. They're gonna be 2 miles back. No one's gonna want to know.
But the thing is,
Southampton will be re-signing Liverpool.
You build down there, Mark. You don't just build a stadium. The hotels followed the supermarkets, hotels, the shops, the complexes.
Yeah.
Think of the thousands of jobs that it creates, which is great for the local economy.
Absolutely.
It'd be brilliant. I mean,
it breaks my heart every time I look at that Echo Arena. I can't look at it, to be honest.
Well, Liverpool's main stand, look how many jobs that's created.
Yeah.
It is, taking your Evertonian hat off, it is fantastic, isn't it? The fact that that's created extra jobs, it will bring more supporters to them.
Yeah.
But then, it's a fucking pain in the ass because it's Liverpool. But for us to potentially have the brand new, move away from L4,
yeah,
put that chapter to bed. We all love Goodison and a lot of people probably will never want to leave. But at the end of the day, we're moving with the times. We're getting new investments, new ideas on and off the pitch.
Yeah.
New infrastructure. It follows in suit. Look at the Arsenal model, you know what I mean?
We want that. We're not going to get the trophies if we don't get this.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get the investment that we need to win trophies if we don't get this. So it's absolutely bringing on, you know. I mean, County Road will probably die a death. I'll have to go to Harlech out of respect.
Unfortunately, it would suffer.
But it would suffer, but I think, you know, me and Al Bennett still call there after the match. But I was going to say, you know, you get out of town packed full of Evertonians. There's going to be Everton merchandise, you know, in town, right in the middle where there's tourists and everything. We're just not out there enough, are we? You know, I went, you know, to Benidorm a couple of days from John Lennon and there was no Everton stuff in the airport or nothing like that, do you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you've just got to, we need to get out, and if we're in the middle of the town, then a lot more people are going to see us, and a lot, you know, it's going to, we're going to start to make an impression on people, aren't we, and get out there as a brand.
And that's the goal, isn't it, you know what I mean? I think we've got a bit carried away there, haven't we, talking about that, but ultimately there is plans, we're not just making these plans up, there is plans to do something, so...
Sky's the limit if we get that Docklands Stadium, absolutely.
I hope Big Joe's at home with his CAD drawings, doing, you know, plotting lands and far.
He's working out how many years it'll take us to overtake Liverpool with the league titles.
And Farhad is obviously working around the clock though, isn't he?
We need Farhad to be pulling strings and scratching backs and fiddling with knobs.
So there you go. fiddling with knobs. I was going to say let's draw it to a close there. We can't say that for the last sentence.
Can we shine, sorry?
But no, the fixtures, we got to finish with the fixtures.
Of course.
So go on, I'll test you. Who are we playing?
Well, I'll start three games. Tottenham Hotspur, then we've got West Brom away, and then we've got, on your big day, Stoke City at home.
Yeah.
Yes.
Couldn't have picked a better game to miss for that.
I sound like to
Stoke.
No, we get beat 4-3, I'm not coming to that way. But I was going to say, no, do you know what? Get past Tottenham. If we can get past Tottenham, they're an excellent team. And I can easily see them cutting through as if we're currently the way we are on Saturday. But if we can get a good result out of that game, go for the win. We should, you know, we're good against Tottenham at home. Then there's some really good games coming up there where we can make the most of it. Do you know what I mean? I think there's a run of games up to West Ham in maybe October. You know, I think we've only got one sub game. I think it's at United away or something like that, where we could, you know, potentially be sitting in
top of the league. Five.
I think top of the league, 8 points clear. No,
to be honest,
there's a really good opportunity to start the season well.
To be honest, the Spurs game is what you want, I think, to start a season.
Mm.
Tottenham really impressed me last season, and Pochettino does, the likes of Harry Kane, even their defences, you know, the defence, sorry. Right across their team, Alderweireld, Lloris in goal. I think they're a really well organised and well suited to his style and his vision. And fair enough, they pissed it last season and they stupidly felt.
Oh, they just lost their heads, didn't they? They did lose their heads,
but looking at Premier League years again, just to draw on that, the amount of goals that Harry Kane scored, Dele Alli, Christian Eriksen, they've got exciting players. Yeah. That's what I want for Everton. A couple of years ago, Everton were competing with the likes of Tottenham, you know, you're 56th, 7th.
Yeah.
We've gone behind, and obviously Tottenham have had more money and you know, made different changes, and they haven't been.
To be honest, a lot of them signings that they made in the wake of Bale, they got criticised initially, have kind of come good.
Well, they have. Lamella done well, you know. Yeah. Christian Eriksen was a snip, wasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, they have signed decent players, and I think that's what you want from your side. Start against the best in the league and have a go. Last season, Tottenham passed us off the park, if I remember rightly, first half. But we Aaron Lennon scored, didn't he?
Yes.
And we drew 1-1.
1-1, yeah.
In January.
See, this reminds me of very much like when we played Newcastle at the start of the season, when we had Gary Speed making his debut, God bless him, and you know, Duncan was on top of it. It's that type of game, mate. You can imagine the sun baking down on Everton. Everton beat Tottenham's always an attractive fixture anyway, isn't it? You know, and it's that type of game where, you know, it can sort of make your season right from the word go.
So where's your season ticket?
In my wallet. I've got it.
No, what fucking what stand's your ticket?
I'm in the Howard Kendall upper.
Upper, you're in the upper, yeah.
So in the upper. Because
so
we're mid-30s these days.
You won't be signing autographs, so, aren't you?
I like the offer because, you know, not often do you get a chance to have a pint and scratch your head on the ceiling. It saves me doing it.
Why don't you change your username to Upper Gladys Lad?
Oh, but that would be... I'm already stalking you on the outside.
Upper Gladys Lad and Lower Gladys Lad.
And Lower Gladys Lad, instead of the two marks, we could be the two uppers and lowers.
The two no marks.
The two no marks. But, yeah, Upper Gladys for the first time in a long time in the middle, yeah, to the left. I think just behind the post. Which I'll get to know over there. No, I'm joking.
Don't talk about your Ben like that.
With the post, if I get stuck behind a post, because I'm there for 19 games, I'll put a picture of Rita Hayworth up and try and get a gap through before the end of the season so I can see through it.
Do you reckon there'll be anything new on the menu on the concourses?
Yeah. I think we're going to have two hot dogs in
roast
one.
Roast dog?
I don't know. Depends what machine he's into, I suppose, doesn't it? I think he's a bit of a smooth guy.
He's not a tinker in.
I'm thinking
he shits himself if you come on the concourse.
I think there's going to be maybe lobster on the menu next season.
So reckon that?
Yeah, why not? Or lobster pots.
Evertonians walking over, confused, going, what's this goldfish?
I would like the rollover hot dog to taste like a hot dog. That would be nice. And for it not to be maybe £6.20.
And not to spend the next 7 days on the bog.
Yeah. With the trying to force to a bloody baguette.
We've reached new lows on this tonight.
Yeah. We're talking about baguettes and hot dogs rollover.
How long's that? An hour and a half? You have to draw it to a close now, yeah?
Kept people awake.
You'll have to get back to Twitter, won't you?
I'll have to, and... Yeah.
People will be thinking you've gone AWOL if you haven't been on it for an hour.
I did tell them all I was on a shelf.
So, there we go.
Yes.
Brings it nicely to an end. Any final thoughts? Predictions?
I want to say it all night. It's 16 years of where the faith in the drive behind our club diminished completely. And I got it back after the season ended. And now I'm desperate for it not to go again. So I'm with you. Although I'm reacting differently on Twitter, I'm with you. I fully believe in the direction that we're going in now. And I think we all have to get behind that direction. We're not seeing it short term right now. I know we all want to get it. But maybe, you know, this present's going to be worth waiting for. So that's all I want to say.
Okay. What about the little snippet that we heard today about it being two medicals booked in a Finch Farm?
Two medicals at Finch Farm. You heard that and I heard that.
So if you hasn't...
And we're not ITKs. We're definitely not ITK.
Far from it.
But I believe
from gauging thought and prediction, I'd say one of them has to be Ashley Williams, and I would
absolutely
say that's and got to be a done deal.
And if you're looking at, you know, CCTV cameras around town, the other one's got to be Wilfred Bonny.
No, surprised that the Evertonians haven't infiltrated his Snapchat to see where he is.
There is no one better than Evertonians at spotting out, it's just, you know, something like that.
Telefo's bird, that was fun, wasn't it? Telefo's a bit of location turned up on Twitter or Facebook or something, where she took a picture, and next thing she deleted it because all the Evertonians were going inside.
I think they knew the moment Leroy Fair ordered two Heinekens and a cheese and bacon toastie on that flight.
So, yeah, if there's any truth to that, and apparently excitement's building at Finch Farm, you know, we could well... Everton love to drag things out, don't they? So they'll probably make us sweat till Friday, you know, just to make sure everyone buys a few more Chang on Saturday.
Do you know what? I didn't want this. I wanted new players and I wanted a new look Everton for Tottenham.
Have I convinced you?
Yes, completely. I would set up a one-matter Friday night, paraded half-time Tottenham Hotspur. That's what I'll
put him on my shoulders and parade him myself.
I'm going to take him home, but a bed made up then.
It's funny, he looks like a little kid, don't put you? You know, yeah. I'd take that myself. I think what we need to do, realise, is that, as I said, I won't bore you with it again before, but I think there is a long-term plan in place, and it's phased. Mashiri comes in, that coincides with having to make a huge managerial decision. If Mashiri didn't come in, Martinez would probably still be manager of Everton FC.
Absolutely. We have a lot to be thankful for.
He's left Koeman. They went and identified him. It took a while because he went on about 12 holidays. he then came back. We announced it in our own time.
Yeah.
Since then, we announced the Walsh deal. No one saw that coming. Stekelenburg and Guy, no one saw them coming. So all in the know, people are saying we're going to do this and do that. That's fair enough. But excitement is apparently building behind the scenes that we are building towards something. So maybe they are waiting for a double announcement to ultimately appease the fans, because we need that. Regardless of whether John Stones or Romelu Lukaku stay or go, Everton needs at least three new players, I would say. And that's without any outgoings.
And three first team players.
Three first team players. But it's, if you're going by an Ashley Williams and a Wilfred Bony, you know that they can go straight into that team. You know that they're good enough. You know they're fit enough. And
they're going to enhance us.
They're going to better what we've already got. So I'm confident. It might not be Williams and Boney, but I'm confident that the names that we bring in are going to be sufficient enough to help us kick on. And I'm excited to see Delafoe Morales, never being Kev's biggest fan. I hope we keep Lukaku. I hope we keep Lukaku more than I do. We keep Stones.
As long as his head's screwed on, right? Absolutely.
As much as a slate the likes of McCarthy, McGeady, Kone and that.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we need players to come in to fill their boots. I'm hoping Guy can play a real part. Looking forward to seeing Mason Holgate, Tom Davis, and the team that...
You do this.
The team that started against United on Saturdays. Team that starts this Saturday for me. I've got no qualms about throwing Guy in from the off. I'm looking forward to seeing the team rebuild itself and find
that
momentum
again.
We lost the plot. We've lost the plot for 18 months.
And I think a lot of damage was done, mate, in that last 6 months there, where he should have been sacked when he wasn't the Miners. I think a lot of damage has gone on where it's still patently clear in that play.
Martinez is the one who's answerable and got made unemployed from that. But the players have a lot to answer for, and you know, it's time for them to stand up and show that they are Premier League footballers and show the capabilities. So whoever doesn't want to be here, the likes of Stones and Lukaku, if they don't want to be here, ultimately the goal is to keep your best players and be ambitious and build around them. But if they don't want to be here, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it anymore. I'd rather think about the future, replace them, bring them in, do what we can and move on, because I'm safe in the knowledge now that there's a real... concrete positive plan for the club in place.
Yeah, spot on. No good keeping unhappy players. Let's move on.
There you go.
So, fair, Benton.
Here we go. So, the Everton Fan Focus podcast is back, obviously, for this season.
Yeah.
You can find us on iTunes. Nothing's changed there. Just search Everton Fan Focus separately, and it's under podcast if you get stuck. You can subscribe there. And you can also leave reviews. So if you want to call Mark a knobhead, then by all means.
I get that anyway.
Also, there's been a bit of a transition. So we've moved the hosting platform from SoundCloud to Acast. So we're going to see how that goes tonight. If it doesn't work, it'll be on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
But we'll push out the relevant links through Twitter. Acast is a hosting platform for podcasts. So we've linked up with a number of other football podcasts. They approached us. They're going to help with the hosting side. And there's going to be, if it's successful, there's going to be some adverts implemented within the show, which will help pay to cover the cost of running it. Again, it's all very much trial and error.
Yeah.
Me and Mark are not technical experts, but we've gone into an agreement with Acast to do that. So you may see that our shows are now proudly hosted or in association with Acast. Surely FM coming in your ears. Some people might not get their head round that, and I'm still trying to get my head round that. So thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks very much. Take it easy.
And we'll come back when?
It's going to be 2 weeks, I think, just after your wedding, Stoke City.
No, we'll do one before then.
Oh, before then? Yeah. Oh, so we'll do one after the West Brom game then.
I'll need
weeks.
A bit of relief before the wedding, won't I? Maybe after the West Brom game, yeah. We'll let Everton play a couple of games. Hopefully then, you know, we would have signed our 5 years.
6 points, sorry, 6 players.
6 points, 6 players, and 6 bricks laid down at the dockside.
That'll good be night. For me.
Good night.